And we're here with Joan Price, the author of Naked at Our Age. And you did the foreword, which
And I'm telling you, this woman drove me crazy. You got to do it. I can't. I'm too busy. Yes, you do. And she called, and then she wrote emails, and she got me on the phone, and she wore me down, and I finally said, ugh, all right.
I got to respect a woman like that, like you,
But
Joan.
Listen to this. It's a subject very dear to my heart. It is. Older women, older people, they are entitled to sex, absolutely. And this culture barely allows young people to have sex, let alone us elders.
You're right about that, Betty.
Why? Why do you feel after doing this book that everyone's so scared of older people getting it on?
Well, it's partly our society, which what is something I call the ick factor, which is the way our society views older people as icky or pathetic if they are enjoying sex or want to be enjoying sex, and the media promotes that. And then the other part of it is that younger people, people say 20 years younger than we are, don't want to think about their parents having sex. And people 40 years old, younger than we are, who are in positions of decision often, they don't want to think about their grandparents, God forbid, having sex. And so it's sort of stacked against us. So I feel it's important for us to start talking out loud about it.
Yes, those of us that are seniors who are having sex.
Well, why do we have that in our culture? What is that myth? Why can't we be comfortable with our parents and grandparents having sex?
Like, because most of the kids aren't having sex. Most of the married couples, they might, you know, in the beginning stages, but then it drops off. And so guess what? No one's having sex. So to think that your mother or your grandmother's having sex, blah!
Plus, don't younger people think they invented sex? So obviously we couldn't know anything about it.
Well, because we don't educate them about sex. There's no sex history,
yeah.
Right? You know, we don't tell them like anyone else was doing it. We act like no one did it.
Well, we don't. We just have an all-around unhealthy attitude about sex, don't you think? Because there are seniors, too, who most seniors that I talk to just applaud my book and the need for my book. But there are those who say, oh, God, what are you in this for anyway? Just to make money? Because who cares? Our age, we can do without it. I actually read that today in a comment, a blog comment.
And so they said what?
What did they say?
They said, why are you doing this anyway except to make money off it? Because who cares?
And you don't make money off sex books.
No, you don't make money.
What are you talking about?
Heck no.
You're lucky if anyone reads them. True.
But what I want to do is, first of all, normalize senior sex. And then empower it by helping people see that if they are having some challenges, there are solutions for those challenges, which they may not know. They're suffering in silence. Who talks about it? Vaginal pain or lack of desire, ED. People make jokes about that, but they don't really talk to each other about it. They don't talk intimately about it.
So we have a lot of young women on our site that don't even know about menopause. They don't think that they're... pussies are going to change as they age.
Yeah.
They have no concept of that.
Yeah.
It's never discussed. Their parents didn't talk about it with them.
Mm-hmm.
My mother never mentioned it. She went through it and never brought it up. Now everyone moans and pisses and moans about hot flashes.
But they don't talk about what happens on the other side of menopause.
No,
which
because
is so invigorating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Margaret Mead said. It's the beginning of your real independence. What did she call it?
You can't get pregnant. You don't have to worry about whether or not the person you're having sex with is marriage material.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Freedom. Yeah. Postmenopausal zest, I think she called it.
Postmenopausal zest. Yeah. When I read that, I said, fucking A. That's me. I'm postmenopausal zest. I'm taking off. Vroom. And it was. It absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
I still think I have postmenopausal zest.
I hope you always do, Betty.
In my 80s.
Oh, you're fabulous.
I think it's when women come into their prime, because there's so, in the culture, so much pressure on you in your 20s and 30s, and then you're raising families in your 40s. Your 50s, 60s, like the golden sex era, I think. And even your 70s, you always say it's the youth of old age. And you had a great affair with Eric, who was in his 20s, and you were in your 70s.
Which is about right for me.
And I met my great love when I was 57 and he was 64.
Oh, and
here he is.
Is this Robert? The person you dedicated the book to,
yes.
Even though he's not here anymore.
Yes.
That was so sweet.
Yes. That's Robert. We were together 7 years to the day. first kiss and last kiss on August 2nd.
Well, wow. there you avoided the 7-year itch.
Well, I guess you could say that, but I would have preferred the 7-year itch.
You wouldn't mind scratching a little bit and kept him around.
I wouldn't mind.
Oh, wow. I don't think women think of that you can have a real love of your life in your 50s.
That's why I wrote 60s. The first sex book that I did, which is Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60. It was to celebrate senior sex, older age sex, because we were having those, talk about zesty, wonderfully lusty and powerfully emotionally bonding. Everything I'd always wanted in love as well as in sex, here we were, some wrinkles in our bodies, but did that stop us? No way at all. We found each other the best looking people we'd ever seen, naked. And then I wrote Better Than I Ever Expected to celebrate senior sex. But after it came out, people would come up to me and they'd say, well, bully for you having such great sex, but I'm not, and here's why. Here's what's going on for me.
So that's why you wrote the second
book. That's why I wrote the second book.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And so the two really fit together really well.
That's a good follow-up.
Celebrate the joys, address the problems.
And I have to admit, I'm looking at your chapters, and it's like you cover everything.
Tried to.
Desire, sex toys, together yet alone.
Yeah.
When you've gotten to that point in your marriage where you're kind of like family and siblings, and you're not really having sex, but you love each other.
Mm-hmm. Or not.
Or not.
Sometimes it's or not in those stories.
And then the non-traditional sex practices, surviving divorce, sex with myself, unlearning our upbringing.
Yes.
So can you unlearn your upbringing?
You have to.
When in your 50s, though, if you haven't gotten there and you're now in your 50s and you've had the marriage and the kids and played by the rules, can you do it?
That's the time to do it. That's the time to do it.
That's because when you have the best chance to do it, actually.
Yeah. Because before that, there are people expecting you to behave a certain way. Then you go through menopause, and all bets are off. Now, remember your own damn appointments. I'm not going to keep track of them for you. I'm too busy having hot flashes. You know, we go through that. And just telling everybody to stop expecting things of me. And then we realize in that pause, the menopause part of it, that when we've given up everything everyone else wants us to do, that we can reinvent who we are and what we want to do. Do you agree, Betty?
Totally. I went into, when I turned 50, I decided it was time to explore the lesbian and bisexual SM movement. And I got involved with these women here in New York that they blew my mind.
I love it, the lesbian sex mafia. That's what they call themselves.
LSM. We were cooking.
And it was all elaborate role playing.
Uh-huh.
Like
and
fun.
And I went out and I bought a leather jacket and boots and chains, and I got my paddle and my whip and my, and I was going to learn about it. And I did. I learned about it.
Uh-huh.
And I played with these women for 10 years, and then I moved along.
I think we really discover our fluidity at that point.
Yes.
You think?
It's a good word.
Yeah. That we discover. We're not necessarily identifying ourselves the way we did so tightly before.
Exactly.
And maybe we had to, or maybe there was something in the hormones that said to do it that way. But we're free of so much now. It's a wonderful time.
It is. And we have the advantages of the kinds of hormone replacement if you want to keep your vagina functioning.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because young women don't realize that after menopause, your vagina can be dry, the lining can be thin, and intercourse is a little bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's impossible for most of us. It's very painful.
Unassisted, you're saying.
Yeah.
But with lubricants or with estrogen or with sex toys helping with the arousal.
You have to make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
major
you do.
So what breakdown, because you took bioidentical hormones.
Okay, but in my 50s when I was with the women, and we were doing SM, it was mostly role-playing and dressing up and designing skits. And whenever I wanted to do penetration, I did anal penetration because vaginal was too painful. It was, and I mean, no amount of lubrication would get me on the other side of the pain. So that's who I was. And then I went through my 60s, and halfway through I thought, you know what? I've tried everything. What's next? And I thought, I wouldn't mind fucking a penis. attached to a guy. So that's when I discovered bioidentical hormones.
Uh-huh.
And here I am in my 80s, and I have a functioning vagina. Now, that is something that the culture has never acknowledged.
Absolutely not.
And so I am truly Baobu.
Yes.
And the Baobu is the woman who is who flashes her pussy, and she can fuck and have an orgasm. And this just terrifies this culture.
Why is everyone so terrified about old vagina? Because I feel like even now I'm 38, and people are like, oh, you look so good for your age, and you're going to look good. And then
She's 38.
No, no, but...
Betty and I are looking at each other with what?
But the other day, a friend
this
of
gorgeous
mine...
gorgeous young woman beside us here.
Who was trying to... I mean, I said, you know, you don't have to worry, Carlin. You're going to look good for another 10 to 15 years. And they were trying to be nice, and I thought, you know, as women, there's always like this expiration date on your forehead, and we think that after a certain point, there's like no sex, and we're really scared of old vagina.
Fuck them.
I have a shirt that says women have no expiration date.
Well, there's a good line.
Yeah, because we, as long as we keep ourselves healthy and learning and energetic, you know, because I see lots of people who give up. Lots of people who really do age in a way that is unattractive because they're sort of withdrawn and given up and it's
angry.
All over. They're angry. Oh, sorry, I'm hitting the microphone. They're angry. I spoke yesterday at a senior center, and someone asked me, who's the oldest person in your book? And I said it was a man who wrote about learning to court his wife all over again at 86. And I told the story of this man and, you know, what had led up to that decision. And one woman in the back of the room said, what fairy tale is that from?
Well, Betty, were you in the back of the room?
I know. That's I would question it, too. It's like, he's rare.
He is rare. Yes. And my Robert was rare. But they're out there. The people, if we can be the person that we're wanting to love,
we're going to attract
then
that.
We're going to attract other people like
us.
I
firmly believe that, too.
Yeah. But we have to be, and I hear people all the time say, well, I don't know who'd want to date me. Well, I said, well, that's the point. If that's how you feel, no one would want to date you.
It's the same thing with masturbation.
You've got to be the person you want to date, and then people will want to date you.
It's the same thing with masturbation when people say, it's boring. And I said, well, then you're boring. How you make love to yourself, if you're boring yourself, you better make some changes. I don't want to do that. It's boring.
You know what the problem is, Betty? And I know you know this. I mean, heaven's sakes, you are the mistress of masturbation.
You can tell me.
But I'll tell you anyway. It's that we often see masturbation as a poor stepchild to what we perceive as real sex.
It's a substitute.
A substitute, a poor substitute, a lonely...
Which is penis, vagina, fucking.
Well, we have to really start seeing that masturbation is a wonderful journey, a source of pleasure we can give ourselves. We don't need a partner for that, and so many people our age do not have a partner.
Right.
And it might be a long time, if ever, before there's another partner in their life or in their bed. And the best thing we can do is to give ourselves that pleasure.
Oh, totally. I'm at a position now where I've been working on an essay I can't quite finish because I can't make up my mind. Carlin laughs at me. To fuck or not to fuck?
I love that. That's what you're debating. Do I want to still be in the game?
And
you go back and forth. It's been 2 years of going back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Back and forth. And I still don't. I'm still not sure.
But you can decide at any moment.
I know, but it's still in play. So I did a couple of little experiments, and it was okay. But I don't know. There's so much I want to do now that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, the creative process has caught me up.
Ooh, what are you working on next, or is that subject for another podcast?
The website blows my mind.
It blows my mind too.
I am in communication with young people all over the world. I don't know what an orgasm is. Please, Dr. Betty, help me. How can I find my blah, blah? I don't think I have a clitoris. I ejaculate, but I don't think it's the same thing as an orgasm. I know it's not an orgasm because I don't ejaculate. So this G-spot and ejaculation thing has confused, terribly confused, a huge swath of American youth. And it's trying to clean that up is a mess. It's separate from your orgasm. It is not, and so all of the young boys are inside the vagina looking for the magic spot to make her come, mm-hmm. like they come. Well, we're not built that way, la, 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 la. So it's just the misinformation, like you say, you have to unlearn.
Yes.
The misinformation that's available now, thanks to the internet and porn, which is educating our youth, which is entertainment for men, we're in deep doo-doo, frankly.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Did you find that even older people missed some of the big, simple things about sex? You know what I mean? Like some basics, the sex basics?
Yes. Yes. And in addition to that, there are some new sex basics. For example, that a man does not necessarily automatically get hard instantly, and that his partner is going to have to do what we used to call foreplay, which I just, you know, I mean, that is sex, all of it is sex, in order to get him aroused. In a way, I think it's that men and women, for the first time in our lives, have been evenly matched.
More equal.
We both need a lot of warm-up. We both need slow arousal. We both need a long build-up to the finish, and I think that's wonderful. But a lot of men say that women don't understand that, and the women,
because they're used to the old.
Yeah, they, you know, say, okay, your pants are down, so what? Why isn't it happening?
And it's because of, you know, you're obviously not attracted to me, and then they take it personally.
Yeah, that's
right?
True too. Yeah, I won't get naked with you. I'm wrinkly, or they say only with the lights out.
Oh, I hate only with
Isn't
the lights
terrible?
Out sex. You can't see what you're doing. I've had sex with people like that, and it's like, I don't want to, like, hit your nose. Like, I can't see.
Well, plus the visual, whether we're really visually oriented or not, the visual is such a beautiful part of sex.
I can't think of any time that I saw, like, one of those weird clips online, and there was anything that ever, everything about sex for me is stimulating and beautiful.
Ah, wish everyone were like you, Carlin.
It doesn't have to be Barbie doll for me,
yeah,
or airbrushed. Like, I love the imperfections.
Uh-huh.
That's what's sex. It's animal.
Just a little while ago, she was having me look at her fat dents on her butt.
Well, because for the production, I'm like, what should I do? Should I lose the fat dents and do a juice diet? Or should I keep the fat dents?
Keep.
And keep them, right?
Be authentic. That's the best advice anyone can get of any age. Be authentic.
Yes. Don't polish it. Don't smooth everything out. Don't be a Barbie doll.
And don't buy into the ideal. Don't say, well, I know that little dents on the butt are attractive, but you may not think so, so I'm going to get rid of mine. What is that promoting? You know,
good. Nail her. Nail. That's
I'm going
it. Joan
to
nailed
nail her
it.
Ass.
All right.
Get her.
Ooh.
Get her. Sick her. Because I'm going to be sitting there in the nude, in an 83-year-old woman. And I'm going to do it just to show that you still have a body and you're still viable.
That's excellent.
Really?
Yeah.
But I do want a spray tan. I don't have time to go out and get a real tan.
Yeah, she wants a spray tan. But we're going to have women of every age, every decade,
wow.
From 20s to 80s.
Wonderful.
We have 70s?
Yeah. It's Sheila.
Okay.
What a great
so
project.
So I love that idea of seeing all of these women at different races, different ages.
20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80.
And how they orgasm, masturbate to orgasm.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And how they feel about their bodies and their orgasms.
Oh, wouldn't it be interesting to follow one woman through all those decades, too?
That would be interesting.
That would be a good project.
That would
yeah,
be you.
That's right. You have been followed through all those decades.
Yeah, I followed me through all those decades.
Well, you know, Betty, I feel so good about looking at 40 and 50 because of you, because you always tell
me,
my 40s, I hit my sexual stride.
Yeah.
You know, because in your 20s, you're figuring out 30s, you're getting a little bit better, you're having your experiences, you're figuring out kind of like, don't like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of good. And you hit your stride. And then to round it off at 70 and have this amazing love affair, sexual affair, it's like, I've never met another woman. And like your book, people don't talk about being sexual when they're older.
Yeah. And one of the things that we discover as we age is that things don't necessarily always build in the same way. You know,
well, how does it change? Tell us.
It often changes where what we liked before doesn't work for us anymore. I have one example in the book. This is one of my favorites that A man wrote on my blog that he doesn't know how to arouse his wife anymore, that she loves having a breast touched, always have, they'd been together, you know, a lifetime. And yet as much as he touches her breast, she does not seem to get aroused. At the same time, I got an email from a woman who said, I used to love having my breast touched, but now it's just irritating. And my husband won't stop mauling me. And so I said, well, have you talked to him? Oh, no.
Because they don't want to hurt his feelings.
Don't want to hurt his feelings. Now, I don't know for sure these were these two people, but they
very
could have been.
Very coincidental.
They could have been. And so the point is that, yes, we change, but we also have the responsibility, if we're partnered, to communicate that.
So sex changes as you age. What you like can change.
Our body responses change. What we like changes. What arouses us or doesn't arouse us changes. Sometimes people find they want to explore what it's like with a totally different gender, and they never thought it had never occurred to them that they'd want to do that. And sometimes they need variety. They need a different person. They need, as much as they might be, they thought, happy in a relationship, it's time to do something new because
something different.
Something different. And sometimes within the partnership, they can explore that through role playing and through bringing in erotica and new things, new toys. But other times they have to go out and explore. So it's a time of change. And if we understand that it is a time of change and don't expect that the same things that aroused us when we were 20 are going to arouse us when we're 70, and we don't expect that the way we reached orgasm, say, when we were 35 is going to be the way we reach it at 75, then we can be open to a whole new journey of discovery.
How old are you?
I'm 67.
67?
Mm-hmm.
38? And 83. I flip our numbers.
Yeah, I like that we have the flipped numbers.
Of course, I pushed it ahead a little bit because I'm not entering my 83rd year until August.
What date?
24th.
The end of August, yeah. We'll be flying back from Oslo.
Yeah, we'll be in Norway.
Uh-huh.
Norwegian television, NRK or something, is doing a sex series, and they wanted Betty to be a part of it.
Oh, great.
So we're flying out. It'll be nice in August to be there.
Yeah.
But I'm noticing, like, the themes, because I know with our site and the questions, I think sex is your aging, and for the boomers, it's a large issue now.
Yes.
Well, is this a boomer age?
I'm just a little ahead of the boomers. I think the boomers are turning 65 now, the oldest boomers officially, the official boomers.
I can never figure that out. But yeah, that's a huge, huge number of people.
And they expect to have sex, I think. I think they expect.
They expect to, and many of them expect that it should be just the same as it was, and they're quite angry that it's not. They want to know how to get that back.
So how do you get it back?
Well, you get it back first by opening yourself to it being different. You know what? You
change.
Things are changing, but that doesn't mean they're worse. It just means they're changing.
And I kind of like that. It's a sexual journey.
Yeah,
I don't want
it
to be the same every time.
It's an exploration of what turns you on now. And I've got things in the book about how to talk to a partner, if you happen to be partnered, about those changes. You know, rather than saying you're mauling my breasts, to be saying, you know, I love making love with you, but I think I'd love it even more if we could explore some different things because I am finding I'm changing like many women at my age. And there are some things I don't even know about what would arouse me. Would you mind experimenting a little bit with me?
And I can't see anyone who would say no to that.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, the way you present it, I'd be like, yes.
That kind
please,
of, you know.
Can we start now?
Right now?
But so many women never have that conversation because they don't know how to say that. What they're tempted to say is, you're mauling my breasts and I hate it. I used to love it, but I hate it now. Stop it. And then they realize if they should say that, that they would totally lose any intimacy with their mate. But they just don't know how to, you know, well, why don't we focus on, instead of what you're doing wrong, not knowing any better, what is it I need? What is it that
well,
would
give
work
a start
for me?
With the compliment. I love the way you kiss, or I love the way you hold me.
Mm-hmm.
And it would really be nice if you would.
What I always say is, I'll just give him, like, if you do this, I'll, you know what I mean? It's really going to make me crazy.
Yeah.
Because then they're like, they want to do it. They have incentive. Yeah. They're like, oh.
That's a good way to do it.
That's sort of hard for someone who's been in a 40-year marriage, though. Yeah. And he'll say, well, how do you know that? Where'd you learn that? Where'd you learn that that makes you crazy?
You whore. Whore.
Our favorite word these
days. But you know, the men don't have an easier time either.
Well, they have erection issues.
Yes, they do.
And that's directly tied to diet and exercise and stress level. And that can be much more challenging.
And
like,
hormones.
I see women as more sexual just because it's kind of easier to keep it, it seems.
Well, men can be sexual if they let go of the I am my penis upbringing that they had.
Yes, because what about their tongues and their hands?
That's right.
I mean, manual sex has always been one of my favorite. And guys just, I don't know, very few of them are really into it.
I had a man in his 80s write on my blog, or I love comments on my blog, nakedatrh.com, by the way, is my blog. And he wrote, I have 10, what do I need a penis for? I have 10 fingers and a tongue.
And love him.
Yeah, really. And he says, it's like having 11 penises.
Exactly.
I dated a guy with a very small penis, and I never had orgasms through, you know, any of that. Mm-hmm. But he would get going with the fingers, and I could just sit there for hours, and it was just so magical. I loved it. I would stick around for that.
Yeah,
well, that's one of the things that that Grant had. He had magic fingers. He just knew how to use them. And it was always good, the manual
sex. Just start really soft.
Easy.
Easy. Play with the labia. Go up to the clit. Tease a little bit. Mm.
I got to go masturbate. Excuse me.
Okay, we'll keep talking. Come back when you're done.
Now, do you give erection advice in your book?
I do. I have not erection advice from me, but I have several experts who are addressing that, who address some of the issues. One thing that's so important that men often don't realize, because they won't go to a doctor for anything short of a severed leg, you know.
Exactly.
And the last thing they'd want to do is announce they're having erection problems. That would be like announcing it at your class reunion. So they don't go, and it's very difficult for the partner to get him to go. But erection difficulties can be because of a disease that's just starting to manifest. It could be a symptom of heart disease or diabetes or a number of other things. And it's really important, rather than just say, well, it's a sign of aging or less testosterone, without getting any tests run, it's much better to just go ahead and bite the bullet and go to the doctor and say, what's going on here? And not accept, well, you're getting older.
I was just going to ask you that. Should we accept that at a certain age we're not going to be sexual?
Well, it depends on how you're defining sexual. Are we going to have penis,
vagina,
intercourse? Maybe not. But are we going to be able to arouse each other, pleasure each other, pleasure ourselves, arouse ourselves, have orgasms? I think that's lifelong.
See,
if we want it to be.
This is what fascinates me, Joan, that they're so concerned with their erections, and yet so few women come from an erect penis during thrusting.
Yes.
If there isn't additional clitoral stimulation.
That's right.
Or a lot of advanced play.
Or if they're new. I can have vaginal orgasms if it's a new person. And then that's kind of tricky, because you have vaginal orgasms the first couple times because you're so hot and you're so into them. And then a couple of times later, you're like, now I need some extra
stim. Now I need clit stim, please.
Yeah.
More clit stim.
Well, you can always say, now that we know each other, let me show you what really works for me beautifully.
Mm.
And then he'll think, well, you know, she's still on fire for me. But we're going
to
add a little
men bit. Men love to watch. People like to watch, I should say, not just men. Who doesn't like to watch someone have an orgasm or get sexual or get turned on?
It's I do it good. For a living.
Yeah, you do. You're lucky that way. I write about it for a living.
Well, there you go. She does it for a living.
Oh. Whore.
Whore. No, she gets to do it for fun. Which you did and which I did. It's like some of us really like sex because it's a good experience. It's a positive experience. And there are so many wonderful women and men who've been damaged.
Yes.
That may or may not ever work through it. It's so sad.
That's right.
And they can. They can get
Well, they can if they buy your book. Because, I mean,
that will help.
Mm-hmm. You break it all out. It's like everything that you need to know. Sensuality for hire I mean, you're hitting all of the topics, the taboo ones, dating while older, safer sex, because they say in all of the kind of assisted living complexes now they're having these breakouts of STDs because yes. these are people who've been married for decades and now all of a sudden you're having sex yeah. outside of your marriage and you don't even know anything about condoms.
Yeah.
Or dental dams or a saran wrap or what type of sex acts that you can do and not risk.
Yes. Yeah, I have some fascinating stories in the book. One thing about this book is that it doesn't just have expert tips, but it has real people's stories, telling their stories about what's going on for them sexually and what history led up to that. And one of the things that is so interesting is that among the people who are single now and who are dating and are sexually active dating seniors, so many of them do not use barrier protection.
Yeah.
They don't think they
need
to. They
never did.
They don't think they need to.
I wouldn't.
So you wouldn't?
No.
No?
No, I'd check the person out. I'm not, I can't, no. No, no, not at my,
I think that's how most people, they're not at my age.
No, right? Not at my age. If I don't think this person is clean and they don't have an STD.
But you can't tell.
Oh, I can.
You can't?
What?
Not even you can tell.
Some old guy or some old gal is going to have what? What are they going to have?
They're going to have what they got from the last person they had unprotected sex with.
Like what?
If they'll have it if they'll have unprotected sex with you, they had unprotected sex with the last person.
You
or
could
a
dozen get herpes,
people.
Betty. Oh, that's right. You have herpes.
I have them.
You could get
I
HIV.
Do not consider herpes to be a venereal disease. It's a cold sore on my pussy.
Okay. You could get HIV.
No.
You could?
From some old guy?
You seriously doubt
from some
that?
Old gal?
The fastest growing population
yes,
for new HIV infection is the over 50 people.
Well, then they're going to have to bring in their test.
But the test tells you where they were 6 months ago.
Exactly. What it is you're past the whole ejaculation in my pussy phase, right? So why not embrace hand jobs, different types
yeah, oh,
of sex
sure.
acts.
Oh, sure.
You don't have to ever take
you know
a
what
risk.
I really want? I want someone, and it could be a male or a female, to hold my dildo.
Exactly.
That you don't need testing for that. Okay.
That's my very favorite thing.
Okay.
I'll do the rest.
All right.
But I can't reach it, and I can't work it, and I can't do it like
I
like
it. And maybe
like
your butt
it.
Plug, too.
Well, of course. It goes double.
Okay.
I'd like some double pen.
Double pen.
My own dildos and butt plugs.
Well, then you don't need a condom for that unless you're going to share your butt plugs and your dildos.
Well, I put a condom on them if I
okay.
share them.
Okay. You're
but,
that safe
but
sex.
But I don't want to have, I do not want to have sex with a person who has to put a condom on.
Well, you're saying you don't want penetration
no.
anyway except from
well,
your dildo.
Well, no, I like it, but it's like, I'll have to find someone who's had a test and
it's been celibate since then.
Yeah,
six
and who hasn't
ago.
Fucked since then.
Okay. They're
six,
out there.
6 months?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
She just wrote the book about it.
She yes. just wrote the book?
Well because it's a big issue for seniors. Safe
anytime
sex
you get
is a huge
HIV,
issue.
Anytime you get HIV testing, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Wait 6 months before discontinuing condoms and get tested again. So maybe that's the outside limit to be absolutely 100% safe, but that's what
the
you
last time
do.
I got an AIDS test, I was at Planned Parenthood, and it was Halloween. So I do the whole blood, da, 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 and they get the results the same day, you know. So I'm sitting in the room, and I'm waiting for the woman to come in, and she comes in, and she hands me a whole bunch of candy. And my heart starts pounding.
Oh, that she's going to give you bad news?
I thought she was giving me the candy because she's going to tell me I was HIV positive.
Wow.
And I would have been a little shocked, but there's always a possibility. You know what I mean? Nothing's 100%. So she came in and I started to be like, oh, with the candy. She goes, oh, no, no, your tests were fine. And I just like grabbed the desk. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, when you handed me that Snickers bar, I really felt like you were trying to be nice to me because you were going to tell me that I failed my test.
I would never, ever, ever, ever assume that I had any of that. I don't know, and I never get it because I'm convinced I'll never have it. I never get it, whatever it is. Something's going around, nah, I won't get it, and I don't. I went through the sexual revolution without
with a
anything,
diaphragm.
Without even, with, I didn't even get the clap.
Huh. Got herpes.
Well,
Go, Joan.
Sorry, I heard that.
That is not a venereal disease or an infection. That is something that everyone's going to have at some point.
Okay.
It's like a cold sore. Would you stop going to social parties because you have a cold sore on your mouth?
I'm not saying that herpes is bad. I'm just saying that you are insisting you never got anything in the 60s.
It is not a venereal infection. Okay. It is not a sexual disease. Disease. Right. No, no, no. And we've got to stop classifying it as such because people are terrified of it. Yeah. And you know the number of people that have it?
Most people have it.
Most. Yeah. So most, why don't we say it's normal or average?
Okay.
Okay. Anyone out there who's got herpes, welcome to the club. You know what we thought in San Francisco? If you didn't have herpes, we felt sorry for you because it meant you weren't very sexually active. And that would be
loser.
Loser.
They're clean. They never got any STIs. Loser.
No, everybody's got to get herpes and just get over it.
Well, I like how you also include information on sex after cancer.
Yes.
Because I think that's also a big segment of the population.
It is.
Going through something like that, it's really hard to reclaim. So how do you reclaim your sexuality?
Well, I had several experts talking about that, and I had no idea until I started writing this book that there were actually specialists, medical specialists in sex, intimacy, and cancer. Did you
really know
that? Yeah.
No.
Well, there are at least two of them, and they're both in the book. And actually, we've got three in the book. And one thing that, through my personal experience, Robert had cancer. And he was in a watch and wait situation for several years, which is what they call it when they have a cancer diagnosis, but there's no reason to treat it yet. There's more harm than good that would be done by treating it too early. And then he got to the point where he did need treatment, and he had chemotherapy for 6 months. At the end of that, or during it too, he was exhausted, he was sick, it was a very, very bad time for him, and yet he wanted to be sexual, not because he had a biological urge to be sexual, not for any hormonal reason, but because it was a way to reclaim life. His life force.
To remain alive.
That had been so important to him. His physicality and his sexuality had all been part of his drive to live his whole life. He was a dancer. He was an artist. And when he was so sick, he asked, he was going through this huge, huge pile of paperwork that they gave him at the infusion center. That's sort of an odd name for chemotherapy. It makes you think they'll serve you tea, but they actually stick needles in you and drip this cancer poison in. And he was going through, he was saying, I can't find anything about sex in here. And I want to know whether it would be safe for us to have sex, or would the chemotherapy
that's a good point
be transmitted to me,
and you get the radiation
through the ejaculate, and we couldn't find anything on that.
Wow.
And we thought, why isn't this in here? There's everything about what to do if you are throwing up. There's everything about how to get more sleep, when to resume exercise, how to do this, that, everything you could want, except there's nothing on sex.
Because we don't acknowledge sex in this culture.
Well, we sure don't for cancer patients.
No.
And so he called the infusion center and he said, I can't find information on this. I want to have sex with my wife. I want to know when it's safe to do that. Is it safe now? Dead silence.
Can you imagine the girl on the other end of the guy on the other end of the phone?
It was a girl. She said, can I get back to you about that? No one's ever asked that. No one's ever asked that?
How sad.
Welcome to America.
I'm telling you.
And then they did get back, and they said that, I think in our case, though I'm not absolutely sure of the number, they said wait 2 weeks, and then it'll be enough out of your system that it wouldn't harm her, but wait that long. And who knew? You know, how would we know that sort of thing? Where would you find that? Well, in my book now.
No, you've documented it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great resource for people.
It is.
Even young people. I mean, I'm hearing more and more people my age in their 30s having bouts of cancer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not, I don't think your book is just for older people.
Right.
I think it's for people dealing with the challenges that life can throw you. You can have a disability. You can do a round of cancer. You can have a divorce. You can have a spouse that passes away.
Yes.
And you can be in your 30s or 40s.
You're right. There's nothing in there that can't happen early. The point is, though, that there aren't any resources for our age when that happens. And there are for younger people. They can find sex guides.
Got it.
And so I would love to have young people reading this book, too.
Well, so they better understand their parents that might want to be sexually active.
And what's going to happen to you?
And what's going to happen?
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. No one talks about it. What? How is it going to change when I'm... That's why I was saying I feel so confident because you tell me.
What you can look forward to and what you can avoid.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, your 40s, that's awesome. That's like the best time. And your 50s, oh, great too. And then 60s, I had to do the hip replacement. Took a little bit.
Yeah, the 60s, you have some body breakdowns to deal with. Uh-huh. And if you get through that and you hit your 70s, woohoo.
Yeah.
Now I'm told if I can get through my 80s, my 90s are going to be the best.
All right. You're going to have to keep me posted on that.
I will, darling.
Okay.
You both can write a book.
I'm
keeping, together. I'm collaboration.
I'm keeping notes.
I have to take issue with something you said right at the beginning of this podcast, Ben.
Ooh. Let's go. Throw down.
You said, I chased you. I insisted. I sent you email. I phoned you. I wouldn't leave you alone until you wrote the foreword. Actually, as I remember it, I emailed you. You said, no, I don't have time. I emailed you again and said, would you take a look at the manuscript? Just read a chapter or two and then tell me if you have time. You said, I guess I could do that. Sent you the manuscript and you said, I'll write the foreword.
I feel so strongly about the subject that, yeah. But don't you think my story is cuter?
Your story is cute, but it makes me look bad.
Oh, it does not.
Well,
like
no,
I chased
no.
you
no,
and chased
no,
you.
No. It makes you, this is a determined
you're
woman.
You're ambitious and you're aggressive. You're what it takes to get the fucking job done. And that's okay to be those things and be a woman and be sexual.
Do you remember the game Red Rover that we played in elementary
Let
school?
Let Green Come Over. Yeah, I remember that.
In sixth grade, I got the nickname Mighty Mouse because I was the smallest one in my class. I still am. But I always won because I would just barrel at the other line thinking no one is going to stop me. And they all got scared and let go.
Well,
so
I
did
just,
you?
I just reinvented your
Thank
mouse.
You.
Yeah, I brought mouse back.
Okay.
But I love to tell it that way. I mean, it's like a better story.
Okay, we can leave your
and
story.
And Betty, though, whenever I come up with something, like we're going to do something new or have every time I prepare myself because I know you now. 3 years in, I'll say something, she'll be like, no, I hate it. You do that if you say no and I hate it. And then I'm like, well, just think, you know, let's just think about it. We don't have to. The options are. And then a little time goes by and then she's like, okay, I'm in. Her first knee jerk is always no, I hate it.
Well, you can always edit out my correction of
no,
how it happened.
No, I love this.
No, this okay. is perfect. This
All
is,
right.
This is how the world functions. It makes me look bad, she said. No, it doesn't.
If you were a man, it would make you seem amazing. You'd get a job promotion.
We want women to know that we have to be pushy and aggressive or we won't get ahead.
And it doesn't mean bitchy.
Oh, and now
it means
she's
persistent.
Admitting. Did you hear that?
Oh, I know I'm pushy and aggressive.
You have to be.
I like that. I just call it assertive.
That's fine, but pushy and aggressive is what it's known by in the culture.
Yeah. I call myself bossy. I know I am.
Yeah.
I boss everyone around.
Yeah.
But I kind of know what I'm doing.
Yeah, when it comes to business, I always let her boss me around. What do I know?
Well, because if you don't know what's right and you don't know what to do and you're not at the helm and you're going to concede to someone else, then you shouldn't be in this game.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So no one, the person knows what they're talking about, and then listen to them and take their advice or let them take control. So this has been, since she has been on board, I have gone through process after process of letting go of control. Oh, is that difficult? Oh.
Well, actually, Betty, you're still in control. It's that you have control over changing your mind and deciding to do it a different way.
Oh, she's sneaky. That's sneaky.
And just because Carlin thought
you're
of
bossy
it first,
and sneaky.
And sneaky, right. I got a bossy and I got a sneaky.
And you're still in control.
But don't you think it's interesting that we are using all of the semantics here, assertive, aggressive, bossy. We're three women that are satisfied with our sex lives.
Because we're assertive and bossy.
And aggressive and impossible and yeah, 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 yeah. Absolutely. That's how you get what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of ways you can do it. You can do it with class. You can do it with style. I often do it with humor. You do it with mouse assertiveness.
Breaking down walls.
It's the mighty mouse in me.
Mighty mouse! But I do. I think your book is great.
Thank you.
And I haven't even read my foreword again. I hope
it's good.
It was good.
It was
Thank
very
you.
Good.
But that was one of the things that Sid said to me, Sid Berlin. She said, I didn't know you wrote the foreword to Naked at Our Age. And I said, yeah, she made me. I really couldn't get out of it. And so then she said, oh. And I said, do you know Joan? And she said, no, we've never met, but I've known of her for years.
So I knew your name. When she said Joan Price, I was like, I know that name. But now we have a face and a person.
Yep, now we.
Good.
Somebody, because Joan, our little mouse, who wrote the best book on sex and aging.
Thank you.
There you
no,
go.
No, we're going to list it. We'll list it on our resources. And now we have. Are you going to make this an ebook?
It's already an ebook. It's available in any way.
Okay,
you want.
So we're going to link to the paperback. We'll mm-hmm. link to the ebook.
Good.
We'll link to your blog.
Great.
And if anyone wants to send a question, you're older or you went through cancer or whatever it is that's going on in your sexuality, Joan's your woman.
Yeah, I'm going to start. I'm going to start sending you all of my elder.
Okay.
Because it's hard for me to identify.
Can I then answer questions through your
absolutely.
Website?
We just forward the email.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd love
that would
to
be
do
great.
That.
You'll be our elder sex expert.
Okay. Thank you.
Ooh. The crash of thunder. We're going to wrap our podcast.
Oh, auspicious. Thank you, Mother Nature.
Here we go, ladies.
Get ready. You're going to be sexual all the way through to the end. Mwah.
Ageless sexuality.
Ageless.